Never give up. There's always room for improvement and probably more room that you can ever imagine. I had my most complex patient. I hate to say it, but even I doubted how much she could improve. And she is doing amazing. No sunglasses, dating, like she just blew everything out of the water. So I want to say, just keep working at it. Find those clinicians that resonate with you. And everybody has a bad day, but keep moving forward because you can get even better than you could ever imagine.
There is always hope. And you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope.
With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. So glad you decided to come and hang out with us today as we are learning about the pillars of concussion care and a holistic approach to healing. Today's episode is going to be wonderful. Last week, we talked with Nick Krantz, and he is a brain injury survivor. Now, I wanted to say a little bit of a follow-up to his story. Remember, one story is one story. Every brain injury is different. And so if you listened to his story and you thought, oh, well, that's good for him. He recovered and he's doing so much better, but I'm never going to be like that. I used to listen to stories and kind of think that too. It's so easy to compare ourselves to other people or compare our recoveries to others. But the thing is, every brain injury is different. You might be listening and have had multiple concussions or one concussion. You might have had a stroke or a more moderate or severe TBI. You might have had an aneurysm or a brain tumor, or you might have some other neurological thing going on that's affecting your brain, and you don't really know what it is. And however you come to this today, I just want to say you're in the right place. And I'm so glad you're here. If you're a family member and you're listening on behalf of your loved one, you're in the right place. If you are a professional and you just want to learn more, I hope that the survivor perspective that I can bring and that our guests can bring can help you to understand brain injury more. And so Nick's story is absolutely inspiring because the reason that I like his story is that he really took into account a lot of the things that we talk about on the podcast and some of the things we're going to talk about today. He really took into account and he started to daily change his routine, and that changed his life. So when we talk about things you can do to help your brain recover, such as things for your autonomic system, like 2 weeks ago with Natasha Wilch, you know, she mentioned cold water therapy, and you know, you might try it once and it's a little strange, but one time isn't going to do anything. It's consistency over time. And so nutrition, again, consistency over time. And Nick put a lot of that into practice and he saw incredible results and his whole life changed as a result. So today, my hope in this episode is to encourage you that there might be another piece to the puzzle of your injury that perhaps you haven't really thought of yet. Melissa Biscardi from Rehab Lab is going to be talking about pillars of concussion care and a holistic approach. Now, you might see the word concussion and think, well, I have a more moderate or severe TBI. I think that the principles will apply no matter what. But she runs a clinic called Rehab Lab, Concussion Rehab Lab. She's a registered nurse, manual osteopathic practitioner, concussion clinician, researcher. She has her master's and she's currently pursuing her PhD at the University of Toronto. She just loves the brain and she loves to help people. And you'll hear some of her story and some of her personal experience as to why she is so passionate about concussion rehab. Now, again, we're going to talk about different pillars of concussion care. And so I hope that this episode will give you some tools and some pieces to help you take it into your own hands and know, hey, these are things that I can do to help my recovery. So she's going to list these later, but I'm going to share with you now a couple of things that you can look forward to hearing in today's episode. So the pillars of concussion care, according to Melissa, include the autonomic nervous system, nutrition, supplements, psychological support, soft tissue and manual therapy, and then rehab and memory and cognition. And so perhaps you've had some of these pieces addressed, but maybe there are some that you haven't quite had addressed, or you might not quite know what to do or how to do it. And so today's episode is kind of taking a bird's eye view look at your concussion or brain injury care model and giving you some tools on what you can do, some things you can do at home, or also we're going to talk about how to find the right clinician. There's a chunk of the episode that is dedicated to talking about finding the right practitioner. So I hope this helps, and thanks for being here and listening to Hope Survives Podcast. We are on episode 54, which is just wonderful. I can't believe we made it that far, and I am so glad you're here. Let's move on with the show today. I started Hope After Head Injury 10 years ago, and it has grown into a global online support community. You can get involved and check out more of the online resources we have available at hopeafterheadinjury.com. Connect with survivors, caregivers, and family members through our Zoom meetings, our Facebook support group, or the Brain Injury Bible Study Group. I remember what it's like to feel so alone with brain injury, and my goal with these groups is for you to know that you are not alone and to be able to connect with others going through similar circumstances. We are in this together. Now, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast and remind you that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only, and not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, thanks for listening, and let's get on with the show. Today, I'm so excited to welcome Melissa to Hope Survives Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited about this chat we're going to have.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you. We have been talking for months about getting you on here, and it's finally happening, and it's going to be great. So we originally connected on Instagram. You have your page, The Rehab Lab. And do you want to share a little bit about some of who you are?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a registered nurse and manual osteopath in Toronto, Canada. And my practice primarily focuses on concussion. So acute concussion or adults with persistent symptoms, which actually takes up most of my practice. I would say it's probably 80-20. And I use a really holistic model of care, drawing from the principles of functional neurology, which you are very familiar with, and hopefully your audience is getting more familiar with through your podcast. And what else? I did my master's at U of T that focused on persistent symptoms in women in particular. And right now I'm doing my PhD, which is focusing on like ocular motor interventions for adults. We don't know the time period yet, but it looks like around 8 weeks post-injury, which is a huge part of what I use in my practice. So it's kind of, you know, it's very nice little dance between the research and the practice piece. And I have a three-legged cat and that's about it. I love to run in my spare time.
That's awesome, Melissa. I did not know you did your master's in persistent symptoms in women. Wow. Yes. That's incredible, because I feel like that was my life and nobody knew anything.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And like, even now, you know, we need so much more knowledge, but we know a lot more than we used to about women and how the experience is completely different and how hormones play a role.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to have you back on the podcast to do an episode about that, like specifically, because I feel like there's so much we could get into. But today we are talking about the holistic approach to healing.
Part two.
We're going to need to, because I'm so interested in hearing about that, and that could derail our entire podcast right now. So we're just going to put a pin in that and we're going to come back to it. But today I'm so excited to have you to talk about the holistic approach to healing, because you have been trained in different ways with the nursing, with the osteopath, with your master's, and now working on your PhD and in working with patients. And so I'm really excited to share this information with our listeners, because I'm all about, on Hope Survives podcast, like my goal is to bring people hope where they are. So what is something you can do at home right now for your injury? Like, what are things that you can do to change your path of recovery? You know, so many people get so caught up in, oh, but I can't afford to see this doctor, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. But there's a lot we can do. So that's what we're going to be getting into today. Now, my question for you before we get into deep into the topic is, why are you passionate about concussion rehab?
Sure. So I would say it started with me being passionate about invisible injury and sort of getting lost in the healthcare system, which happened to myself. I have had concussions, but very unremarkable ones. You know, the ones that I never see, basically. I just sort of rested or whatever for 2 weeks and I was okay. But where I had a real struggle is 2013, I started to lose my memory progressively, but significantly, to the point where I couldn't remember my patients. I just couldn't remember like actual experiences, couldn't remember people's names that I had known for 10 years. And it was dismissed. And I'm a healthcare professional. So if you can imagine, I know the people, I have connections, and I was still being dismissed and, oh, it's stress, or other like making fun of me comments in a friendly way, or, you know, not meaning to be demeaning, but it completely was, because I was going through a health crisis and I knew something was wrong. The MRI was clear, right? And they chalked it up to stress, but I don't know how old I was then. Let's say 30. Like, you should not be losing your memory at 30, right? So I had to dig on my own and figure out what the heck was going on. And this is like a whole other podcast we could have, but it all came down to over-the-counter sleep medication, which is actually really bad for you. And there's a lot of research on how it is associated with early onset dementia. Wow. So, yeah, so I won't name any brand names, but let's just say, if you're taking over-the-counter sleep medication, do a little Google search and you might want to look at other options. So anyway, randomly, I found this research and realized what was happening in my brain and built myself back to health, kind of with the same pillars we're going to talk about today, right? Building my brain back to a reasonable state. And then I thought, oh my gosh, how many people are having this same experience as me, but don't know to search the literature or to dig or whatnot, can't advocate for themselves in the same way. And that kind of indirectly led me down the road of brain health and concussion and a visible injury.
Wow. Thanks for sharing some of your story. No, I'm glad. Thank you for sharing some of your personal story. I think that really helps to understand where you're coming from and why you're passionate. You know, I would say most of the people that I talk to that I have on my podcast or the clinicians, they have some sort of personal reason as to why they're passionate about it, whether it's a family member or something they went through themselves. There's something driving that, because if you don't know what it's like to have an invisible injury, or if you don't know what it's like to experience something where you are getting medical gaslighting or you're feeling like nobody understands, you kind of just feel like you're swept under the rug, you know? And I find that that is actually such a motivating factor for so many clinicians. And so I know that you actually have a program for clinicians. Did you want to share a little bit about that here?
Yes, sure. I forgot to mention it in the beginning, but so I do workshops usually, I want to say every 6 weeks, that focus on a manual therapy component. So I have one focused on like cervical issues post-concussion at the end of May. And then I have a larger program where I collaborate with some other amazing clinicians. And that is 10 modules, which is kind of, don't want to say everything you need to know, but everything you need to know to start to get some momentum in your practice. And it covers all the pillars we're going to talk about today. So the soft tissue, the autonomic system, nutrition, eye movements, the mental health aspect, etc. So, yes, that's also super exciting, because as I always say, we could, as clinicians, could never meet the need for care. Like, there's so many concussions that happen, whether it's from sports or motor vehicle accidents, falls, and just random things around the house. We need as many concussion literate clinicians as possible out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing about that. So if you're a clinician listening to this, make sure to connect with Melissa. I'll put those links in the show notes. But let's get into the topic now. So you mentioned the pillars of care. Can you list them out first? And then let's go into them one by one.
Sure, absolutely. So at the sort of foundation is the autonomic nervous system. So how the wiring, I guess, of your brain and body are working. And when we sustain a concussion, it throws our system into fight or flight, right? That stress mode, all of our senses are heightened, and we first and foremost need to get that back to a little bit of a more like optimal state as the foundation. And then I'll send you the image and maybe you can share it, or it's on my Instagram. I have that as a foundation, but we need nutrition and psychological support like around the pillars, if that makes sense. The nutrition is the fuel for the Ferrari, as I like to say. So what we're putting into our body will definitely support healing or not. And when we sustain a concussion or other health issue, it's a trauma, right? We do need support around processing that trauma. And then there is the soft tissue component. So anytime there's a concussion, there is definitely soft tissue injury. So whether that's the neck, whether that is the tissue right over the head, we need to address that. And then getting into more like typical rehab stuff, such as coordination, balance, eye movements. And then the last, it's like the icing on the cake, is where we get into memory, cognition, et cetera. And I always say the reason why that is I don't want to say the last piece, but we do need to get some of the other pillars under control first, is because if your nervous system is all over the place, you're in pain, you're not eating well, you're processing the trauma, how could your memory be, you know, working well? How could you focus? It would be almost impossible because you don't have any energy reserves for it.
Wow. So those are the pillars then.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Well, the castle.
I love the order that you have them in as well, because I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking my original care was the complete opposite. So they would start me in memory and cognition stuff, but it wasn't until over 10 years after that the autonomic system. So my brain injury was 2007, and then I ended up with multiple more concussions. It wasn't until 2018 that I got a diagnosis for my vestibular problems and I got in vestibular therapy. Meanwhile, I fell constantly and I kept getting more and more brain injuries because I was falling all the time. But yet, out of all the doctors I saw, nobody addressed the vestibular system. And then it wasn't until 2019 that I got diagnosed with dysautonomia, which was such a piece of the puzzle. And then the nutrition piece. And ever since, my listeners know this because I talk about this, but ever since I went gluten-free, my brain fog just dissipated. Like, I can't even explain the difference. It's like night and day. And so I think about, like, back in 2007 when I first had my injury, they were just trying to, like, work on my memory. I'd play memory games as part of therapy, but yet I have all this other stuff going on that was never addressed. And so I love how you bring the whole person into the recovery before you even get to those, you know, rehab games kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Because if you don't have like the substrate or like that, the proper fuel, how could you read a book and remember what was in it?
Well, they put you on medication.
Right. Yes.
That's what they do.
I always say, you know, I'm not against medication. I mean, when you need an antibiotic, you need an antibiotic. But when it comes to concussion recovery, I do feel like it could be the last resort.
Yeah. Well, they put you on
first, or at least be balancing the two approaches.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm not against medication either. There are definitely times that it's necessary and helpful. And I love that science has given us a way to address some of these things. I think medicine is incredible. But yet, I think about how my neurologist just stuck me on all these different headache medicines and didn't once ask me what I was eating or get blood work to see if I had inflammation, you know, and basically, they tried me on all these different medicines that had such terrible side effects before I even knew that changing my nutrition could change my life.
Absolutely. And I know in office, I face sometimes, not always, but some resistance around the gluten-free, the dairy-free. But when people do take that step, often they stay there because they just feel so much better.
I resisted
always tell
it.
People to give it to me. Yeah. I'm like, give me 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you start to get the hang of it though. And well, you start to feel a little better. And then I get the buy-in usually.
That's because it's overwhelming. And again, this could be another episode, but I mean, I was told to go gluten-free by Dr. Schmo in 2019. I didn't do it till 2020. It took me a year because I got so overwhelmed by like, what am I going to cook? What am I going to eat? What am I going to buy? Like when you have limited cognition anyway, you know, you kind of get, but it was actually when the pandemic started and I was like, I'm home. I can figure out like what to do to cook and to change my food. I wasn't eating out. Like, so that was actually when I made the switch.
Wow. And it was for the better.
Changed my life. Yeah. But anyway, so I guess we just talked about nutrition, but let's go through your pillars. Because again, we could have multiple episodes on this. But all right, so where do you want to kind of begin?
Okay, let's start with autonomic nervous system, which that's where, so whether it's the acute stage or the chronic stage, this is where aerobic exercise comes in. And when you're in the acute stage, if you've sustained a concussion, now we know you should actually be up and moving like 2 days later. Now, we're not talking playing football, but getting the blood flow going. We say staying below symptom or sub-symptom threshold. So if you have a little bit of symptoms, you know, this is the like bird's eye view version, but a little bit of symptoms, it's okay. But we don't want you in a dark room anymore. And that activity is to support the nervous system. And then there are other ways as well, which also kind of piggyback on the mental health part, but meditation, deep breathing, those are all really good for the calming part of our nervous system, which is the part of the nervous system we want to nurture. So we're thrown into fight or flight, which is one of the reasons why we get noise sensitivity, because in primitive days, we were in the jungle and our nervous system is looking out for predators, but we have not adapted. So in today's world, all of our senses are up and we have the screens, we have the sounds, and it's just a little too overwhelming. So the first thing is, okay, support that nervous system with exercise and some mindfulness. I'm going to give you an opportunity to interject here.
Yeah, so that's great. I actually have had a couple episodes if people are interested in learning more. So we did an episode in the beginning of this year with Dr. Mark Heisig on exercise intolerance. And then just a couple of weeks back, we had an interview with Natasha Wilch on the autonomic nervous system. So that whole episode is just on that. And so if you guys want to dig into those, you can definitely check out our previous episodes. Or if you're a listener that listens regularly, you've already heard them, so you already know.
Dr. Heisig actually teaches the nutrition module in my clinician course.
He's great. So
he's a favorite of mine.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. So yeah, so the autonomic nervous system. And again, that's a piece that I didn't even know about until so many years later. And so that's something I think is really, I love that it's being talked about so much more, because I mean, that can change the trajectory of your recovery. Any of these things could. So we talked a little bit about nutrition. Is there more you wanted to, I mean, there's so much more we could talk about with that, but.
I mean, so the gluten and dairy are like a must, basically. Like what would you call it?
They're inflammatory. So.
Yeah, they're inflammatory, right? So you just got to do it. Yes, and sugar. And of course, alcohol is not going to be great for your recovery either. And then, I mean, especially if you're working with a naturopathic doctor, it would be helpful, but you can start looking into different supplements to support your recovery. And there are definitely nuances that would happen depending on your specific injury. But often we look at omegas and even higher dose than your recommended daily intake. Because if you look at a bottle and there's a recommended daily intake, that is for any Tom, Dick, or Harry to go purchase the supplement and take. It's not a therapeutic dose. It's not a therapeutic dose. So usually the dose for recovery is going to be a little bit more. And then often we will recommend magnesium, especially before sleep, right? To help with, well, all of our cells need magnesium, but it is calming and can support better sleep. Curcumin, an anti-inflammatory, or turmeric. So the big one that I recommend for my concussion patients and also just healthy brain is GPC. Do you know that one? Glycophosphocholine?
No, I don't.
Or alpha GPC. And Dr. Heisig talks about this too. It is, so it works on the, basically on the memory pathway, which I'm obsessed about. And you can get capsules or a dropper and take it daily. There is research in concussion recovery and just in preventing Alzheimer's or dementia. So that one I recommend often. It will give you, after around 2 weeks, you start to feel a little bit as if your brain has been cleaned, if that makes
sense. That's awesome. I'll definitely want to look into that.
Amazing. Yeah. Sometimes creatine, in research, creatine has been shown to help with a sort of depression symptoms over time. I feel like those are the main supplements. And of course, like water intake is going to be important. But for diet, some clinicians will recommend the ketogenic diet, but I feel like that could be hit or miss. Like, it's super hard to do. I feel like cutting gluten and dairy, you're going to get a huge amount of bang for your buck.
Yeah. And these are things that you guys can take to your doctor and ask them about. You know, yes, remember, I always put a disclaimer before the interview, but this is for education and informational purposes. This isn't medical advice because it's so specific to your injury. But I will say, and I've had a couple episodes on nutrition as well. We had one on the gut-brain connection with Dr. Megan Kirschling. We also had one on nutrition back in season one with Bridget. And she's a functional nutrition specialist. And so definitely finding what works for you, I think, is super important. And then that's the same thing with the psychological support, like you were talking about, right? Because everyone's going to have different needs.
Absolutely. Especially depending on, is it your first injury or not? Do you have a history of other traumas, which can be huge, or a history of anxiety? Is it a pandemic, right? There are so many moving parts that will affect how much support you need.
Yeah.
And even what type of therapy, because I know a lot of my patients will do EMDR, which I'm a huge fan of, but there are so many other approaches. So even just finding the type of therapy that resonates with you. And if you don't have the financial capacity, seeking out, there are a lot of resources out there, whether it be YouTube or whatnot, even just for some mindfulness, right? Taking some time to sort of bring in some positive affirmations.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So let's go into your next pillar.
Okay. So that would be maybe soft tissue. Yes. Since I do come from a manual therapy background, there's a lot of manual therapy that happens in my care. So that would be addressing, yes, the neck, because there's always a portion of whiplash during when a concussion has happened. And also for cranial treatment, that is more of an osteopath thing, but I know other professions are starting to sort of get their hands wet in it. And I always say, like, imagine you hit your elbow, there's going to be swelling, redness, congestion at your elbow. So if you hit your head, there's actually going to be that local tissue change that happens, which needs to be addressed, right? Encourage blood flow, oxygen, nutrients, and waste from the inflammation to get basically out. So coming from a holistic approach, yes, I'll treat the neck and the head, but also make sure the tissues from the neck down are moving well, because it's a closed system. So if we think of the circulatory system just being a circular hose, we want to make sure there are no kinks in the hose. That's what's going to promote, I want to say, the most optimal recovery, as opposed to having little areas of congestion.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, that's stuff that's not always addressed.
For sure. I totally agree. Especially neck down. But like, imagine your upper back is cement. That's not going to be great, right? It's going to refer to your head. It might refer to your neck. So you need to treat the whole body for sure.
What have you seen with working with patients that have had brain injuries and working with the soft tissue? Like, what kind of improvements have you seen in people?
Absolutely. So a lot of people come in with upper back issues as well, just from the nature of our world right now, right? Working at the computer all day long. So they'll be super stiff there. And it could be stiff or tight, whatever you want to call it, on the neck, or could just be flip-floppy all over the place, depending what kind of tissue pattern they have, if that makes sense, right? Like, a wrestler's neck is going to be different than a dancer's. And so the reason why we need to treat that upper back also is because the nerves that come out of there are part of that autonomic nervous system. So really just thinking how everything is connected. So I definitely pay a lot of attention to between the shoulder blades leading into the neck. And then with the neck, we want to get mobility back, which is not just, can you move your neck? It's, can you move your neck in a controlled way, which is very different. And then another piece, which is super important that I pay attention to, is cervical endurance. So you can have a strong neck, but do you have a strong neck over time? And the research shows that when we work that, it's good for recovery, but also for concussion prevention in the future. So that's a huge piece that I focus on. And then the cranial treatment, which is very gentle, but also good for the nervous system, and can be good if people have tinnitus, headaches. So lots to do.
Yeah. So a couple of practical questions. I know you're trained in osteopathic care. So if somebody's listening to this, they're like, okay, I want to get this treatment, but where do I go? Now, I know that some chiropractors, if they have concussion experience or they're trained in some sort of functional neurology, or if they have more of a holistic functional medicine background, they might be great. But some other chiropractors just might bring somebody in and just start cracking their neck up without any understanding of the concussion and the autonomic nervous system. Wow. And so I always want to caution people about just like going to any old chiropractor. But would you recommend like a DO, a doctor of osteopathy? Would you recommend like a chiropractor trained in brain injury? Would you recommend like a massage therapist? Or are there multiple avenues to take?
I would say for like top, if you can, see someone trained in functional neurology. I feel like that's the cream of the crop that draws from the different pillars. The thing about DO is in the United States, that is a medical doctor. And as far as I know, they actually, this might have changed from when I was in osteo school, but I know when I was in osteo school, they had to prescribe first. They actually don't do a lot of manual therapy the way we do in Canada. Whereas, okay, you know, I can't prescribe medications at all. I work with my hands. So if someone is searching out a DO, I would say make sure they see a lot of concussions and ask if they provide the manual component. Because I think some probably don't even do it at all. They're practicing as pure medical doctors. And then, you know, any other clinician, if you can get a little bit of an idea of what kind of work they do, and just make sure they see a good number of concussions, because the truth is the more you see, the better you're going to get at picking up on the nuances and then just creating great outcomes for your patients. I had a colleague, I don't know when it was, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I was still kind of half concussion, half body, you know, that sort of I'll treat whoever comes into my office model. And he was saying, you know, and he wasn't even directing it at me. It was just a comment he made. And he said, when you do the neuro, you just have to do it all day. He was talking about a colleague of ours. And I said, in my head, I was like, he's totally right. And then I was like, that's it. I'm just doing brain all day. And he's right. Because the more you see, it's that 10,000 hour rule. The more you see, the better you'll get.
That's wonderful. And it's all about finding the right fit too. And I say this to our listeners, and I want to reiterate it. Like, if a doctor doesn't seem like the right fit, you're not obligated to go back. You know, you're absolutely not obligated to, and that doesn't mean just if you hear something you don't want to hear, like go gluten-free or something. You know what I mean? Yes. But I mean, like, if it really isn't a right fit, I always advocate for getting a second opinion or a third opinion going. I mean, I've had like, I don't know, dozens of opinions over the course of the years of my injuries. And I think it's worth it to keep searching until you find the right fit and something that works for you. Because again, all brain injuries are different. And like you shared, Melissa, you had a concussion and you were just like, you know, you were okay. And some people have concussions and they don't have lingering symptoms. And yet other people years later are still struggling. So if you're in that boat where years later you're still struggling, these pillars that we're talking about, that Melissa's sharing, the nutrition, the psychological support, the autonomic nervous system, the soft tissue, and then we're going to go into a couple more here shortly. But the rehab stuff as well, it's just important to have a view of your injury as a whole, like as a whole, as affecting your whole body and your whole person, because it's not just isolated into your cognitive symptoms. Your whole body, what you eat affects your brain in a huge way. And that's important. You're worth getting that addressed.
Absolutely. And even if, let's say you find a practitioner and, okay, they really are only able to do the manual therapy component, but they have a team, whether it's in the same, like, for example, I have colleagues I work with, not in the same space, but I say, okay, go see so-and-so for, to get your blood tests and really get diet recommendations or whatnot. So you don't need a hero, but you need someone who can help you and who knows their limits and has a network to refer you to, because they say it takes a village. It does take a village.
Yeah. And having different doctors that specialize in different things to help you is great. But I find that the traditional medicine system often just has all these different doctors you're going to in isolated ways, and they're all prescribing you different medicines, and they don't even think about how those medicines interact with the others, and you just end up like just lost in the midst of all these different doctors. So, you know, there's a balance, and it's important to find the right care that's going to advocate for your healing.
Yes, and working sort of like collaboratively or as a team versus working in silos. Yeah. Well, the kidney's not connected to the liver, but of course it's all connected.
So let's hit on those last two pillars before you go. The rehab stuff, you talked about coordination, balance, eye movements, and the memory and cognition.
Yeah. So that's when we're starting to feel a little bit better, and we can start to add in resistance type exercises, and that would be gradual, similar to what we do with aerobic exercise. Even if you were not athletic or anything, it's still going to be beneficial to add in some resistance work. It's good for the autonomic nervous system. And then, of course, if you are having balance issues, vertigo, et cetera, maybe you will need to have a specific vestibular therapist. But if you're seeing a functional neurologist, usually they can take care of that for you, or any ocular motor type rehab. So the interesting thing with both of those, actually, is that dizziness, blurred vision, pain in your eyes can be from your neck. And that's why the pillars are listed the way they are. So make sure maybe your neck isn't going to be 100%, but make sure you address some of the neck issues, because some of the other things are going to clear up as a result. Even brain fog, if your neck is a huge issue, it's going to impair circulation, which is going to cause brain fog. So that's why we definitely clear up the neck. That's sort of the rehab side. And then for cognition, memory, like I said, it's sort of the icing on the cake. In Canada, we would sometimes collaborate with a speech language pathologist or an OT who will have more specific sort of exercises and return to work. In my practice, I would say we keep it pretty basic and lifelike. So getting people reading more, writing what they read about, even just gradual return to work and like engaging in real life versions as opposed to app-based versions.
Yeah, that's great. And again, it's finding the right care for you and the right connection. And realizing it's all connected.
It's so true. What was I going to say? Even with the eye movement stuff, and I know you've probably done lots of staring at dots, staring at different dots, but then you progress to just using your eyes, right? In everyday environments. And that's the real version of homework.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so great. And realizing, you know, yeah, I had a head tilt, and that was because my vision was off. And so like I was tilting my head to correct my vision for 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
Through my development.
The tissue was
and that messed up my neck, and I have TMJ as a result. And so, and it's like, I had to do physical therapy for the TMJ, but they, at first they weren't addressed because I got to the point where I could barely open my mouth.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't even until another year or two that we realized it was from the vision. And I had gone to a vision therapist and gotten evaluated. And she was like, oh, you're fine. You're like within normal range. And then, you know, later I find out like, no, my eyes are super messed up. And so it's like crazy how much it's all related. Like I have pain on the right side. And then I was getting migraines behind my right, like behind my right ear. And so then my neurologist just wanted to put me on headache medicine for the migraines, put me on migraine medicine. But then I ended up actually going to a DO, and she did a lot of manual stuff, and she did acupuncture with stim.
Yes. I love using that tool.
And so she did that on the back of my right side of my head, and I had no more migraines on that side after that. Like it was literally muscular. And it was being treated like it was neurological. So it's just so interesting how things are connected. And like, that's just a tiny piece of like my recovery. And there's so much more, but.
Did you also have tinnitus, like ringing in your ear?
Not to the point where it like affected me on a daily basis. Yeah, no. Like it would come and go sometimes, but nothing like really debilitating. But yeah, so I still have some issues. I've been seeing a chiropractor trained in functional neurology actually close by that knows about the brain. And so he's been doing like very, very gentle stuff on my neck. And that's been really helping. Whereas before, like years ago, I thought like a chiropractor would be fine. And they just would like turn and crack my neck. I had to ask them to stop. And I think like, because I would feel like really weird symptoms. And like, They were not trained in concussions. And of course, I didn't know the difference at that time, right? My parents didn't know the difference. And so that's why I try so hard to let you guys know, like, hey, make sure who you're seeing knows about brain injury, because there's really so much to it. And there's just so much that's connected.
Absolutely. And even just sort of piggybacking on what you're saying about how it was all coming from the tissue, essentially, but the sort of medical model was throwing medication at it. I think that's why, okay, for sure, first you have to rule out any red flags, but then it's so valuable to see a concussion clinician who's a manual therapist, because that person is looking for the cause, right? Like, is this being caused by the tissue or a head tilt? Whereas medication is for the symptom.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe we'll need medication down the road, but if we can either reduce the amount you need or maybe just avoid it altogether, why not?
Yeah. And at the time though, medicine was was the only route that I knew.
Right?
And so it helped me to get through. Like it really did help me, because it did reduce my headaches and it helped me, but then it caused a bunch of other side effects. I lost over 50% of my hair because my hair fell out from it and all sorts of other problems. So I eventually got off of it because I couldn't handle the side effects. But I realize now how much could have been prevented had this research been out when I first had my injury. That's why I do this podcast, why I'm so passionate. I don't make any money from this. You know, I'm not like, there's nothing in it for me besides I just want people to know. And I want them to understand that there is so much that you can do. And there's so much that's connected in your injury. And so I hope that, Melissa, you've been so helpful. And I just love your approach. I love your energy. I love your joy. I love your passion for it. And I just really think that people have gotten a lot out of this. And I hope it's encouraged our listeners to know, hey, there could be another piece to my injury. Out of these pillars, you know, maybe 4 out of 5, or I don't remember how many they are, but maybe the majority of them have been addressed, but maybe there are pieces that have not yet. And so see what you could do between the autonomic system, the nutrition, psychological support, soft tissue, rehab, memory and cognition, and just see what pieces you might be missing
and
look to fill that in. So Melissa, my final question for you, and I ask this to all of our podcast guests, is what are any words of hope that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
Oh, yeah. So I definitely want to say never give up. There's always room for improvement and probably more room that you can ever imagine. I had my most complex patient. I hate to say it, but even I doubted how much she could improve. And she is doing amazing. No sunglasses, dating, like she just blew everything out of the water. So I want to say, just keep working at it. Find those clinicians that resonate with you. And everybody has a bad day, but keep moving forward because you can get even better than you could ever imagine.
That's wonderful. Thanks so much for sharing. So if you want to get in touch, you can check out her website, rehablab.ca, as well as Melissa Rehab Lab on Instagram. And I will put those links in the show notes. So
thank you so much for having me. I'm glad we were the stars aligned today for us.
Yes, I'm so glad we were able to do this. And thanks so much for sharing.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.